The humid air in Valdosta usually carries the scent of pine and heavy rain, but on that spring evening in 2021, it felt unusually still inside the residence where the initial call originated. Walking through a home where a life is slowly retreating is a silent exercise in observing the mundane details that remain while the person fades away. There were no sirens screaming in that moment, only the low hum of medical equipment and the hushed tones of first responders who recognized the face of a man who had once been a titan on the Saturday afternoon gridiron. The walls held the quiet echoes of a career built on speed and collision, yet the man lying there was a shadow of the athlete who had patrolled the linebacker position for the Florida State Seminoles and multiple professional franchises. It was not a crime scene in the traditional sense of yellow tape and ballistic markers, but the atmosphere was thick with the kind of tension that suggests a story is being told in fragments rather than a complete narrative. The discovery was not of a body, but of a terminal condition that seemed to have accelerated far beyond the natural progression of a 33-year-old man in peak physical history. We looked at the medical charts and the hollowed features of a father and son whose life was tethered to a hospital bed by the time the public became aware of his decline. The reality of the situation settled into the room as the medical staff prepared for the inevitable transition. While we began the process of looking backward to see how a professional athlete could reach such a desperate endpoint, this was the beginning of our look into the final days of Geno Hayes. The timeline of the decline began long before the final medical intervention and required a meticulous reconstruction of the months leading up to the spring of 2021. My team and I started by charting the physical trajectory of a man who had played 7 seasons in the professional ranks, where the physical toll is often hidden beneath the surface of a jersey. We documented the first signs of significant weight loss, which colleagues and family members noted as early as 2 years prior to his hospitalization. The investigative trail led us through a series of medical consultations, where the diagnosis of chronic liver disease was first established as a formal reality for the former athlete. We spoke with those who observed his behavior during this period, noting a shift from the gregarious leader seen in locker rooms to a man who became increasingly reclusive and guarded about his deteriorating health. The documentation showed that by early 2021, his weight had plummeted from his playing weight of 220 pounds to roughly 150 pounds. We cross-referenced his medical appointments with his public appearances, finding that he had been masking the severity of his condition even as his internal organs were failing. The investigation focused on the environmental stressors, including the domestic setting and the psychological pressure of transitioning from a high-stakes athletic career to a civilian life defined by chronic pain. We gathered statements from neighbors and associates who described a household where the energy had shifted from vibrant to strained as the physical illness began to manifest in cognitive changes. Every interview added a layer to the chronology of a man who was fighting a battle on 2 fronts against a failing body and a mind struggling with the weight of a vanishing identity. We tracked the specific dates of his multiple hospitalizations in Georgia and Florida, noting that each release was followed by a shorter period of stability before the next crisis occurred. The records indicated that by the time he was placed in hospice care at his parents' home in Georgia, the window for a life-saving transplant had long since closed due to the advanced stage of the complications. We examined the history of his prescriptions and dietary habits during this window to determine if there were external factors that exacerbated the liver failure beyond the standard medical explanation. The lead up to the final event was a slow motion collapse that was documented in medical portals and private messages rather than on the nightly news. The evidence in this case was not found in DNA swabs or fingerprints, but in the digital and forensic trail of a man whose life was being recorded through his interactions with the healthcare system and his personal devices. We spent weeks reviewing the communication logs between the subject and his inner circle, which revealed a desperate attempt to manage his public image while his private reality was one of agony. The forensic review of his medical history provided a technical roadmap of the liver failure, showing the elevated enzymes and the progression of jaundice that signaled the end of his physiological resilience. We examined the digital footprints of his final weeks, including search histories and messages that indicated a clear awareness of his mortality and a struggle to secure the necessary care in a timely fashion. The technical data from the hospital records highlighted the specific moments of acute failure where his body could no longer process the toxins that a healthy liver would easily manage. We looked at the financial records and the insurance documentation to see if there were hurdles in his treatment plan that contributed to the speed of his decline. The evidence showed a pattern of high stress and rapid physical deterioration that aligned with the complications of non-alcoholic cirrhosis, which he had publicly attributed to his use of over-the-counter pain medication during his football career. We analyzed the statements made by his family regarding his mental state, noting that the physical pain was often accompanied by bouts of depression and anxiety that are common in terminal patients. The forensic evidence from the autopsy later confirmed that the cause of death was indeed complications from the liver disease, but the investigation remained focused on the timeline of care and the domestic environment. We reviewed the emergency call logs from the residents, which provided a soundtrack to the panic that often defines the final stages of a chronic illness. The digital evidence showed a man who was reaching out for help in some moments and pushing the world away in others, creating a complex portrait of a person in crisis. We documented the specific medications found at the scene and compared them against his official prescriptions to ensure there was no evidence of foul play or accidental overdose. The technical details of the forensic report described a body that had simply been pushed past the point of recovery by years of physical trauma and the relentless progression of the disease. We mapped out the final 72 hours of his life using the data from the medical monitors and the testimonies of those who were present at his bedside. The evidence pointed toward a natural but tragically premature conclusion to a life that had been defined by extraordinary physical feats. The legal and factual conclusion of the investigation into the death of Gino Hayes centered on the formal declaration of natural causes resulting from chronic liver failure. We reviewed the final certificates and the closing reports from the medical examiner, which left no room for ambiguity regarding the physiological reasons for his passing at the age of 33. The legal system did not find grounds for criminal charges, as the evidence consistently pointed toward a medical crisis rather than a deliberate act of harm by any secondary party. We documented the final arrangements and the public tributes which saw thousands of fans and former teammates gather to honor a man who had left an indelible mark on the sport of football. The official records from the state of Georgia and Florida were synchronized to ensure that his medical history was accurately reflected in the final tallies of athletic-related health complications. We observed the probate proceedings and the distribution of his estate, which proceeded without the contentious litigation often seen in the wake of a high-profile death. The factual closing of the case involved a summary of the findings being presented to the family, who had spent months seeking clarity on the speed of his decline. The investigation concluded that while the domestic environment was strained by the weight of the illness, there was no evidence of negligence that met the threshold for legal intervention. We filed the final reports into the archive, noting that the story of Gino Hayes serves as a factual account of the long-term physical risks associated with elite-level contact sports. The sentencing in this case was handed down not by a judge, but by the biological reality of a condition that remains difficult to treat in its advanced stages. We closed the file with a comprehensive timeline that verified every major medical event from his first diagnosis to his final breath in hospice care. The legacy of the case remains a data point in the broader discussion of athlete health and the necessity of early intervention for liver and organ-related ailments. There were no further inquiries from the district attorney and the local law enforcement agencies. Officially moved the case to a closed status following the release of the toxicology and pathology reports. The finality of the situation was marked by the quiet return of the residents to a state of normalcy while the sports world moved on to the next season. The investigation into the death of Gino Hayes was completed with all facts verified and all evidence processed according to the standards of the department.